Well, good morning. This is Brother Van Wyndham from over at West Macomb Baptist Church. Glad to be with you again this morning. It's so good to be back. We were out last Sunday morning. We went up to Wellman Baptist Church up in Lincoln County. I had an unusual experience. I was able to even hear myself on the radio. That was kind of an unusual experience that I get. I don't ever get to hear myself because I'm always at church preaching. But it was we had a great day up at Wellman. We're so glad to be back at West Macomb today, and we hope you're having a good day today. I know some of you may not be well. You may be have some kind of affliction or sickness today and not able to go to your church, so you're tuning in with us. We're going to pray that God will restore you to your health, that you can be back in church. We know some of you are shut-ins and not able to go. We're going to pray for God's comfort for you, and then some of you may be traveling this weekend and out on the road. So we're going to pray that you'll have traveling graces. But it's just so good to be back with you again today once again. So let's go to the Lord in prayer, and we'll get right into the Word this morning. Father, we do thank you for this opportunity that you have given us once again to come and to share your Word over this radio station. Lord, we thank you for those that are able to listen to us this morning. We know some may not feel well. Lord, we pray for their restored health. Lord, you know their needs there in their home, Lord, and we thank you that, Lord, that your Holy Spirit can cross any boundaries, that just because our voice is the only thing that's getting there through this radio station, but your Holy Spirit can fill that home and touch that body. So, Lord, we pray for that today. We pray for our shut-ins. We pray for comfort and strength for them, Lord, and we thank you for their constant prayer for us and for the churches, Lord, and for our nation today, but just strengthen them. And then, Lord, we do pray for those that may be traveling this morning. We ask you to give them traveling graces to and from wherever they're going. We just pray, Lord, you give them a speedy trip and a safe day. But, Lord, as we come to your Word now, we ask you to bless the reading of it, that, Lord, that you would just speak through me the words that we need to hear this morning. Cleanse me of my sinfulness and my ungodliness, Lord, and make me a vessel that you can use, that you can speak through. Because, Lord, we stand here in your stead this morning, not in our own power, but in your power. We can do nothing in ourselves, so only we can do what you do through us. So, Lord, cleanse us that you can use us. Help us to lift Jesus up, bind Satan, Lord, and we're going to give you all the honor, the glory, and the praise in Jesus' precious and holy name. We do pray. Amen. This morning, we're going to think about a little different subject. We're going to be thinking about our contentment versus God's calling. Think about that just a minute. Our contentment versus God's calling. You know, it's so easy for us to get content in the wrong things, isn't it? We can get content in our relationship with God. We can get content in our service to Him. We can get content with our attendance in our churches. And whether we go on every Sunday or every other Sunday or once a month, or what we call them CEO Christians. You know, they come at Christmas, Easter, and other special occasions. We see people get very content with doing so little for God. But then we get so, uncontent about other things. I mean, we need a bigger car. We need a newer car. We need a better boat. You know, we need a new gun. I was telling Denise, we were going, carried our senior adults, our yesterday kids, down to the war museum down at Count Chevy this week, and I was showing her one of those 1911 45 caliber. I said, this is what I want for Christmas. Now, you know, I don't need that, but that's just something. We're not content. I got seven pistols, you know, but we're content. Never content with what we have, right? It seems like we always want more and more things, but yet we're so quick to get content with what we're doing for the Lord. You know, we're just going through and finishing up with our nominating committee and all those who are willing to serve the Lord in a new year. But you know, there's a lot of people who are just content with doing nothing for the Lord. They just content to come and sit on a pew and say, well, I've done my duty, you know. I was sitting in my place. Now, don't get me wrong. I love to have a church full of people. I love to see every pew full. But, brothers and sisters, we can't be content with where we're at in the Lord. I want to read to you this morning from Exodus chapter 2. We're going to begin with verse 15, and we're going to read through verse 25. It's a story of Moses. Now, we all know the story of Moses, and we're going to look at it a little closer today and maybe a little different way as we think about Moses and his contentment. Have you ever thought about Moses as being content? You probably hadn't. But listen to me, he was. So listen as we read from the Word today in Exodus chapter 2, beginning with verse 15. And it says, "Now when Pharaoh heard these things, he sought to slay Moses, but Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh and dwelt in the land of Midian, and he sat down by a well. Now the priest of Midian had 7 daughters, and they came and drew water and filled the troughs to the water with their father's flock. And the shepherds came and drove them away. But Moses stood up and helped them and watered their flock. And when they came to rule their father, he said, 'How is it that ye are come so soon today?' And they said, 'An Egyptian delivered us out of the hand of the shepherds and also drew water enough for us and watered the flock.' And he said unto his daughters, 'Where is he? Why is that ye have left the man? Call him that he may eat bread.' And Moses was content to dwell with the man, and he gave Moses Zipporah, his daughter. And she bare him a son, and he called his name Gershom. From he said, 'I have been a stranger in this strange land.' And it came to pass in the process of time that the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel sighed by reason of their bondage, and they cried, and their cry came unto God by reason of the bondage, and God heard their groanings, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob, and God looked upon the children of Israel, and God had respect unto them." Let's go back to that verse 21. "And Moses was content to dwell with the man he gave his Moses, Zipporah, his daughter." Moses was content to stay with the man. Now listen to that. Think about that just a moment. Have we ever really thought about Moses being content? Now let's go back and kind of refresh our memories about old Moses and about his life. We remember that Moses, when we look back at his life, we know that he was spared. His life was spared because God had a special plan for him. But we know when all the children were being killed, what happened? We see that his mother and father hid him in a basket. You know the story, how Pharaoh's daughter found him. We see that you know, he was a Hebrew, and we see that he was raised up in an Egyptian home in Pharaoh's house by Pharaoh's daughter. Now think about that. So Moses had 40 years, I guess you could say, of a good life, of everything that you could imagine. But what happened? We see one day, he sees an Egyptian beating a Hebrew. And when he sees this, his blood begins to boil and he runs over there. And what did he do? He actually killed the Egyptian. And he hid his body. Well, guess what? Somebody, you know, your sins always find you out, right? Well, somebody had seen him do this and it got back to Pharaoh. And so Pharaoh says, "I'm going to kill you." So Moses has to flee. And he flees from there and he goes into Midian. And there it says that he was sitting by a well one day, and these daughters of Jethro come, and they begin to try to get the water, and what happens? The shepherds run them away. Well, Moses stands up and protects them and draws the water and waters the flock for them and gives them the water to take back home. And when they get back home, they got back so early, you know, their daddy says, "What? How'd y'all get through so quick?" You know, he's probably wondering, "Did you really feed water the flock? Did you really give them water? You know, how you getting back so quick?" And so they tell him, "Well, there was a man there, and he helped us. When the shepherds ran us away, he stood up against the shepherds and drove them away, and he watered the flock for us, and he helped give us the water that we need." They said, "Well, where is he at? Y'all didn't bring him home with you? You know, the least we could do is let him come eat supper with us. Why in the world didn't y'all bring him home with you?" And so what happens? They go and they get Moses and they bring him there to the house. And so it says in verse 21, Moses was content to stay there with them. Isn't that amazing? He was content to stay there with them. Here's a man who had been raised with all the wealth that you can imagine in Pharaoh's house. Even though he was a Hebrew, he really wasn't an Egyptian. He had saw the best of the best, but yet he knew deep down inside that he really wasn't an Egyptian. He stands up and he delivers this Hebrew from the hands of the Egyptian. Wasn't that amazing? And then, look at, we can call Moses the old deliverer. Have you thought about what? How many people he delivered? He delivered that Hebrew from that Egyptian that was beating him. Then he delivers these daughters, a rule of Jethro. He delivers these daughters from the shepherds. And God has a bigger plan for him to do what? To go and deliver the Israelite people out of bondage in Egypt. Isn't that amazing how God works? But guess what? Oh, Moses was content to be doing what he was doing. You know, Paul made the statement over in Philippians chapter 4. You'll read there in verse 1. He says, what I have learned at whatever state that I am, to be content. You know, he says, I've done everything. I've had plenty. I've had nothing. I've had the good life. I've been in prison. But he says, I've learned that whatever state I've been in is to be content. Now, like I said at the beginning, you know, we can be so uncontented with the things that we have. We can be at the point that we just want more and more and more. But Paul says, I learned it at work. But you go back to Philippians chapter 3, verse 13, and what did he say? He says, but when it comes to my relationship with God, what have I learned? Not to be content. He says, I forget those things. He says, I have not attained. I have not apprehended everything that I want for the Lord. I hadn't done all that God wants me to do. And he says, you know, I press forward. I forget those things which are behind me. And I continue to press forward to that mark of the high calling of God. I continue to press forward to what God wants me to do. You know, it's so easy for us to be content in it so many times. I know as we look forward to retirement and things like that, you know, it's so easy for us to sit down and be content. But is God going to be through us? No. You know, he's not going to be through us. Should we just get to a happy place and a safe place and say, well, this is all I'm going to do for the Lord and this is all I need to do? Do we need to get content with our relationship with God? No. You know, we got too many people in our churches today who are just sitting in the pew and they're just content. They're not growing in their faith. They're not doing any more for the Lord and what they've already done. And they're just kind of sitting back and they're content with just riding along, going along for the ride, waiting for the Lord to come back. But listen to me. The Bible tells us we got work to do till Jesus comes. And we can't become content because, see, contentment causes us to start making excuses for what God wants us to do. That's what contentment causes in us. Contentment, if you look up the definition of contentment, it means, it says to limit oneself in actions and requirements, to be satisfied. But I want you to listen that close. Limit oneself. In other words, contentment is when we limit ourselves. It's not when other people limit us. It's not because our situations limit us. It's not because our surroundings limit us. It's when we just decide to limit our own selves in our actions and our requirements. We cut back on the requirements of our own selves. You know, I had a man tell me one time, it was the first of the year. I mean, it was just beginning of the new year. And he told me, he said, well, I just don't think I'm going to do much this year. You know, I kind of looked at him and said, man, the year's just getting started and you already made your mind. So he was content. So therefore, he limited himself to what he was going to require of himself. He limited his actions. He said, I'm just not going to do much. He was satisfied with what he had and what he was going to do. And so he just said, I'm going to be content. Are you there today? Are we like Moses? Moses says, I'm just content. I know I've been in Pharaoh's house. I've seen the great wonders of Egypt. But I'm going to tell you, I'm just content just to stay out here with you and my wife Zipporah, and they've had a son there, Gershom, and he says, I'm just content just to stay here with you and help take care of your flock. I'm just content. But guess what? Our contentment versus God's call. What does God want you to do? God had a special plan for Moses. He had something great he wanted Moses to do, right? And so we see, you begin there in verse 3, and you'll see that, I mean, in chapter 3 of Exodus, you see what happens to Moses. We see that he's out there tending those sheep one day, and he sees a burning bush. And he says, I'm going to go by and see what that burning bush is doing, because it's on fire, but it ain't burning up. And when he got close to it, what happened? Voice spoke to him out of the burning bush, said, take your shoes off, boy, you standing on holy ground. I got something to tell you. I've heard my people cry. I've heard their moanings and their groanings. I've seen what has happened. And he says, I want you to understand that I have something for you to do. I want you to go down and deliver my people out of this bondage, out of Egypt. And that's when that contentment really comes to the surface, doesn't it? Once we get contented, when God gives us a call, we start making excuses. So I want us to go back and remind ourselves of those excuses that Moses made. I know we've heard sermons, I've preached on it before here in the last 20 years, but I hope you're hearing something different this morning as we think about what contentment does to us and our relationship with God, how that it gets us to start questioning whether we ought to be obedient to that call to what God has for us. So let's look at, we're going to look at six things this morning about being contentment and having contentment in our lives, how that it versus what God calls us to do. The first one we'll see is that contentment says, who am I? But obedience says, here am I. Did you get that? Contentment says, who am I? But obedience says, here am I. Contentment says, who shall I say sent me? And obedience says, I am that I am sent me. Number three, contentment says, they'll not believe me. But obedience says, observe these signs that I'm fixing to show you. Number four says, contentment says, I cannot talk. But obedience says, I'll teach you what to say. Number five, contentment says, send someone else. And obedience says, you still have to go yourself. Even if he decides to send someone else, if he's put that call on you, you have to go as well. And then lastly, contentment angers God. But obedience, what does it do? It pleases him. It pleases God when we are obedient. So let's go back and see how that this contentment in our lives can cause us to question God. Moses was content staying right there, starting his little family with Zipporah. He was content staying right there with Jethro, his father-in-law, having these sheep, having these goats, having these cattle. He was just as glad, you know, he was just snug as a bug in a rug, as we'd say, just there with being that shepherd and taking care of the flocks. That's all he wanted to do. He was just content. But God says, I got something else for you to do. I got another deliverance. You delivered the Hebrew from that Egyptian when he was beating him. You delivered these women from these shepherds when they tried to run away from well, and now I got you something bigger I want you to do. I want you to deliver my people out of Egypt, out of Pharaoh's clasps, out of his hands. I want you to deliver them. So let's look at the first one. Contentment says what? Well, who am I? But obedience says, here am I. Think about that just a minute. We see there in chapter 3, verses 11 and 12, where that Moses says to God, when God tells him, I'm going to send you, he said unto God, but who am I that I should go to Pharaoh, that I should bring forth the children of Israel? And he said, certainly, I will be with thee, and that shall be a token unto you that I've sent you. When thou hast brought my people out of the land, you shall serve the God upon the mountain. So here we see Moses says, well, who am I? In other words, what he was saying is, there's a lot of better people to go than I am. You know my history. You know my past. And so I don't really need to go back to Egypt, God. You know what has happened. But what did it say in the verses that we read? The king of Egypt had died. The Pharaoh that was there, when he was there, had died. But still, Moses, in his contentment, says what? Who am I? I'm not the one you really need. I'm not the one you need to be sending. I'm not the one that needs to be going, but you need to send somebody else. Listen to me. When God's call comes to you, it's not something to take lightly. There's not somebody else to go. You are the one that he has picked. We forget that so many times. God didn't just give us, okay, who wants to volunteer? You know, who wants to volunteer? I know I've heard all the time, I was too young for Vietnam, so I've never served in armed forces, but I always heard, never volunteer for anything when you're in the Army. So, you know, that's kind of how it is in church. People don't volunteer for things very often in the church, do they? A few will, and praise the Lord for them. But the majority of people don't, they're not going to volunteer. And so we see this is how Moses is. Moses said, hey, who am I? I'm not the right man to go. Look, if God tells you you're the right man to go, you're the right man to go. You're the one that he has chosen that should go. He has put a calling upon you. But contentment will get you to question, well, am I the right one to go or not? I'm happy right here. You know, there's a lot of people looking for somewhere to go, right? There's a lot of people who are not content with their life. But a lot of us are content. We say, well, God, I don't want to go. I'm happy right here. I'm happy right here. Every time. In 47 years of pastorate, and I've only been at five churches. I'm at my fifth church now. We're in our 20th year here. And I'm going to tell you, every church that I left, I was content to have stayed right there for the rest of my life. I didn't want to leave. I mean, I would have been content staying right there. I'd love to be right there at Noli with my first church, or at Mission Hill where all my kids were born, or at Highland there in Crystal Springs, or over at Roxy. I could have stayed at any of those churches and been content. But God says, I got a plan for you. I got a calling on you. So obedience says, here am I. You remember in Isaiah chapter 6, there in verse 8, you remember in Isaiah chapter 6, what does Isaiah do? He sees the vision of God sitting upon his throne and the greatness of God and how great God is. And when he saw it, it was in awe. And he just says, you know, I'm a man of unclean lips. Woe is me. And then God got to tell him, you know, I need somebody to go. I need somebody to go to my people. Who am I going to send to my people? And finally, in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8, what does Isaiah say? Here am I. Send me, Lord. Here am I. Send me, Lord. See, brothers and sisters, Isaiah had done seen the greatness of God. He saw that God had a great need, and God was pleading for someone to go. And Isaiah said, I'll go, God, because God was putting a call upon Isaiah, right? Well, old Moses wasn't that way right here, was it? He said, who in the world am I? But obedience says, here am I, send me. So this morning, are you questioning, who am I? Or are you saying, here am I? Then let's look at the second. We see the second contentment will say, well, who am I going to tell them he sent me? But obedience will say what? I am that I am sent me. In other words, he was saying, well, you know, there's so many gods in Egypt there and so many other gods that they've been. If I go to them and tell them this, then he says, who am I going to say sending me? I'm a nobody. I'm out here tending this flock. I'm like a shepherd. Who am I going to go tell them? And so listen to me. You see what God tells him? Verses 13 through 15, he said, God said to him, you tell him I am that I am. I am the I am is who God is. That's what he tells him, his name. And then he tells it goes a little bit further and describes who he is. He says, I am the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob. Now, they knew who Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were. There was no doubt in their mind. So what he's telling them is, you go tell them that the greatest God ever, the one and only true God, I am that I am, the God not like these gods of Egypt, but the great God. I went to a revival service this week out at Mount Vernon Missionary Baptist Church and heard Brother Gary Brumfield preach. And I love what he said. He says, give God the praise. If you got a sorry God, then praise him with a sorry praise. If you got a mediocre God, then praise him with a mediocre praise. But if you got an awesome God, praise him with an awesome praise. I love that. I love that because, see, this is what God is telling Moses. The one that's sending you is not a sorry God. The one that is sending you is not a mediocre God. The one that's calling you is an awesome, one and only, all-powerful, all-knowing, all-present God. And brothers and sisters, we need to realize that this morning. When we get content in our ways, we need to realize that the one that puts a call upon us is not just some frivolous call or just somebody that really don't have any power or anything to carry it through. But when God puts a call upon your life, then we got to put that contentment aside and we got to realize that he is an awesome God, the great and marvelous and powerful, all-powerful God. And we want to go and do what he told us to do because he is God Almighty. Well, then look at the third thing. We see that the third contentment says what? Well, they won't believe me. They won't believe me. But what does obedience say? Obedience says, observe the signs. Observe the signs that I'm fixing to show you. Observe the signs that I'm going to tell you. They won't believe me. You know, when I began preaching, I had a problem with thinking about how young I was. I surrendered when I was 17. I was pastoring a church at 19. And I thought a lot of times, I said, how can I go? How can I go and teach and preach to these people who have been Christians longer than I have been alive? And then, you know, I come to this realization. Guess what? It's not me, but it's God. It's not me, but I'm representing God. And God would do the mighty work, not me. And we have to observe the signs. Look at the signs that he gave Moses. He says, okay, throw that rod down. Moses throws the rod down. It becomes a snake. God says, pick it up. He picked it up, turned back to a rod. He says, okay, put your hand inside your coat. And he puts his hand inside his coat. He says, pull it out. He pulls it out. It's covered with leprosy. He said, now put it back in there. He put it back in there. And he said, now pull it out. And he pulled it out, and it was clean once again. But then notice what he said. He said, if they won't believe them two signs, then here's what I want you to do. He says, then you go to the river, and you get some water, and you pour it on the dry, dusty land, and it will turn to blood, and they will believe the blood. Oh, brothers and sisters, do you see? Do you see the projection of Christ and his blood? Do you see how that what God is telling Moses, hey, they may not believe these other signs, but they'll believe the blood. See, brothers and sisters, they'll believe the blood. We can't be content and say they just won't believe us. When they hear how that Jesus shed his blood, gave his life, and broke himself and gave himself for us, then, brothers and sisters, how can they reject that? When they hear the love of God, the blood that was shed. And I love the way he said that. They'll believe the blood sign. When they see the blood sign, they'll believe that. And brothers and sisters, that's what we got to share today. We got to know that, hey, we believe because of the blood. It's the blood that proves it. It's because Jesus paid the price for our sins, died on the cross, and rose that third day. Well, let's look at number four. I know our time's getting short. He said that contentment says what? I don't know how to talk. But obedience says what? I'll teach you how to talk. Isn't that amazing? We see that he told him, he said, man, I don't know what to say. I can't talk good. I stumble around. I'm from Kapai County. I can't even read good. And what did God tell him? You read that chapter 4, verses 10 through 13 when he's making this excuse. And God told him, he said, didn't I make your mouth? what he said? Didn't I make your mouth, Moses? And if I made your mouth, don't you think I can tell you how to talk? Don't you think I can teach you how to talk? Jesus in the New Testament told his disciples this in Matthew chapter 9, verse 19. He says this to them. He says that when you have been delivered up, he says, take no thought in what you shall say and when you shall speak it. For in the hour that you need it, what? I will tell you what to speak. Isn't that amazing? He says, you know, don't wonder about it. When you're delivered up, don't think about what you're going to have to say because I'm going to teach you. See, that's what the Holy Spirit for. It is there to teach us. It is there to guide us. It will teach us. That's what obedience says. Said, God, I'm obedient. You know what I need to say. You tell me what to say. Listen, he's telling me what to say this morning. I can't come up with all these sermons. Well, I tell people all the time. They said, where you get all them sermons from? I said, well, where do you think I get them from? From the Holy Spirit. Sure, not the internet. I know there's a lot of preachers falling into that category, but it's not the internet. But it's the Holy Spirit teaches us what to say and tells us what to say. He says, contentment says, well, I can't talk. Obedience says, I'll teach you how to talk. I made your mouth. Well, let's look at number five. Contentment says, well, send somebody else. But obedience says, well, you're still going to go. Look what happens. We see that Moses tells them there in verse 18, after he tells them, I can't talk, he said, well, don't you just really think somebody else would do a better job? Whoever you really need to send, don't you think they would do a better job? And listen, brothers and sisters, if God has called you, there is nobody better for the job than you. He doesn't call us if he's not going to equip us. And just like with Moses, he called him, and there's nobody better for the job. You know, Jonah thought it could be somebody better for the job when God called him to go to Nineveh. He got on a boat, but he ended up making a submarine ride in the belly of a fish. And he found out, hey, there's nobody better that can go than me. And what happens? He went and he preached and made a three-day journey of preaching in one day. And the town people repented. Contentment says, what? Somebody else can do it. But obedience says you still got to do it. If that's what God's called you to do, then he expects you to do it. And then lastly, look what happens. Contentment angers God, but obedience will please him. In verse 14, when he gets through saying, well, don't you think it's somebody else that can go? What does God do? It says God got angry with him. And he said, well, doesn't your brother Aaron, I think he's a good speaker. He does real well. Go get him. He'll go and he'll speak for you. But let me ask you a question. Did Aaron ever have to speak for Moses? Was Moses ever caught without words? No. God spoke to him. But see, Moses still had to go. But Aaron went too. Aaron went too. Because, why? Because he had anger. God had gotten angry. You can't please God by being content. You please God by being obedient. You remember the story of King Saul when he went into battle when God had told him to destroy everything, but he brought back the spoil and he brought back the cows and stuff and even the king. And when Samuel looked at him and he said, have you done everything that God told you to do? And he said, yeah. Samuel said, well, what's all that lowing I hear? Oh, well, I brought back for some sacrifices. And what did Samuel tell him? He says, obedience is what God's looking for, not sacrifice. Obedience is greater than sacrifice. This morning, are you riding in your contentment, or is God putting a call upon you this morning? What are you doing? Are you questioning God because of your contentment like Moses did? Answer that call today. Somebody's waiting to be delivered, and you're the one that God may be calling to send to be that deliverer. Let us pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for these that have listened so attentively this morning. And I pray this morning, Lord, that we'll all not become content in our service to you. Be content with these physical things and worldly things, but help us never to quit growing in our service and our love and our devotion to you. Speak to our hearts now, Lord. If there's one lost that does not know you, help them to go know Jesus as their Lord and Savior today. In Jesus' name, we do pray. Amen.